Give them all a hand. It's amazing. Didn't they do incredible? Kind of just want to dance. But I won't. Ow! Don't get me started. I can moonwalk. Just makes you want to move, doesn't it? And that's the reality of Resurrection Sunday. Truth? You know, Friday, Good Friday, we talked about the crucifixion and what the guys did today as they did Friday night. Beautiful, powerful, true? You know, there's what we depicted was the chains. They depict, I guess, the captivity that all humankind is under through sin. And the reason that Jesus Christ came. He came to break chains, to set us free from the penalty that God put upon us. There is a punishment for our sin. And sometimes you have arguments with people and discussions with people that would say, how could a God full of love actually allow something like hell to exist? See, God is who He is. He's perfect love. He's perfect light. The Bible says there's no darkness in Him. If I turned off the lights in here, darkness and light can't dwell in one place. True? If you have a pitch black room and you turn a light on, darkness disappears and light appears. And that's who God is. He's perfect. He's perfect love. There's no evil. There's nothing vile in Him. And so for us, whenever we sin, it's like we have opened ourselves up to darkness. And therefore, there's a chasm between us and God. There's a problem. Technically, we cannot be in God's presence because we have darkness in us. And the gospel is a simple story of God's plan of salvation to remedy that situation, that curse upon humanity. Because we ourselves, through Adam, we allowed sin to enter the world. We chose, our forefathers chose. And the salvation of the plan of heaven is simply for Christ, who was God, to become man and allowed Himself to live a life that was sinless. And when it came to the point where the enemy, there is an enemy, there is a devil, had an opportunity to take the life of Christ, in reality, the devil had no right because Christ was sinless. And he blew it. Put him upon the cross and he beat him and he did everything he could imaginably, emotionally, physically, every way he could to put his torture upon the life of Christ. Everything that a human could experience. The Bible actually, and historians tell us that Jesus went through emotional agony, turmoil. His friends disappeared from him. He was abused and cursed, and he was whipped and beaten and literally placed into a situation where the cross, the crucifixion, is literally one of the most painful deaths a human could ever experience. You literally suffocate eventually. And all that happened. And the enemy must have been so excited to see the Son of God in a place of death. Must have thought, victory. Hated God, hated Christ. But like the enemy always does, he overstepped his mark. He took the life of the Son of God and he had no right because he was sinless. And God's salvation plan, which was birthed from the beginning, from the moment Adam and Eve, it was always there, was God's salvation plan, was released. And suddenly, every one of us that has the penalty of sin, that has a separation between the purity of God, who is complete good. If God wasn't good, he wouldn't be God. Are you with me? If God was anything but pure light and pure good, we wouldn't know who he was. He wouldn't be the incredible God that we know and love. You can't have it both ways, amen? But God created and sent his Son, his only begotten Son, it says in John 3:16, who actually laid down his life. It was a plan from heaven. And as soon as his life was taken, it literally says that the earth shook, the clouds came. It says that the veil was torn in the Holy of Holies, and all this punishment and death and penalty that was on humankind was placed upon Jesus when he was on the cross. So Jesus is the doorway, friend. Let me be blunt. The gospel is very technical. There is nothing you can do in your own strength to get eternal life through God. There is no good act, no good deed, because if you've sinned once, you're separated. Simple as that. You might have given to charity. You might have done amazing things. You might be a beautiful person. But technically, friend, you are held outside of eternal life. And God knew that. And that's why Jesus Christ created a doorway, a pathway, and there's like a doorway to salvation and freedom. And it says, the Bible says that the road is narrow that Jesus has created. There's plenty other ways that people want to think they can get to eternity and get to heaven. But if you believe the Bible, you believe the Word of God, if you believe that God is, and Easter is what it is, thousands of people across this earth celebrate it. It's because there is a doorway, and that is doorway is Jesus Christ. And if you open that door, which means you open your life to him, you accept what he did on the cross for you, then instantly you step into that place and you are in God's kingdom. John 3:16, for God so loved that we go, only begotten Son, who would believe in him, not perish, but last life. In one breath. That's why the gospel is so powerful. That's why Easter is such an amazing time. Then the Bible says that after 3 days, he rose again. Mark chapter 16. Maybe the guys can find this on the screen. It'll be great. So I just want to jump in here for a moment because that's the gospel story, but we're going to talk a little bit about this resurrection life. And I want to give you an opportunity in this room. If you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, we're going to pray at the end, and I just pray that just maybe you would believe that today is no accident that you're in this room. That God's loved you before you loved him. Amen? The Bible tells us that. But God has a desire to set you free on your life. And when you understand who Christ is, you understand the gift of salvation and freedom that we get when we walk through that door, you enter a room called Christianity. You enter a room called relationship with Christ. You enter a whole new world where your whole life, no matter what's happened to you, you have a power released to you that can see your life change like you've never seen before. You could try and change your life the way that you can yourself under your own means, but you were never created to do that. Amen? And so we're going to pick up the story. Mark chapter 16, verse 1 says, now, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Solomon brought spices that they might come and anoint him, being Jesus. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb where the sun had risen. Here's the reality of the story. Very early Easter Sunday morning, these women rise, pitch black. There Jesus had died, according to them, on a cross, brutally, horribly. And what they planned to do is they knew that he was entombed, and they gathered spices because it was a tradition that you would anoint the body with spices and oil. But you got to realize after 3 days, spices and oil won't actually do anything against the stench of death. True? It's 3 days. And so they assembled and they came to this place. And they actually, if you keep reading here, let's continue verse 3. And they said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? So these women, they turn up, they got spices, they want to anoint the body of Jesus. They're full of sorrow. And they kind of know as they're going there that there's a huge stone. Kind of behind the screen, but it's just over there. I could roll it, but I won't. That wouldn't be good because it would have taken a lot of people to roll that stone away, right? But they went there anyway. Isn't that kind of wild? Something drew them to Jesus, and they went to this place, and there's the stone. And, well, what they thought, well, we'll do it anyway. Let us continue. Verse 4, but when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, do not be alarmed, which is good when you're alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go tell his disciples and Peter, and he is going before you into Galilee, where you will see him as he said to you. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. So they get there, obviously they ran into an angel. They turned up and there was a miracle. Jesus was gone. And it says, verse 7, he goes on ahead of you into Galilee, says the angel. He is waiting for you at home. Go and see him there. You know what I love about Jesus? From the moment that he was resurrected, he went straight back to what he was called to do. You see, he came here on earth to bring salvation and to bring freedom to your life. You live life long enough and there is stuff that gets on you, that messes with you and enables you not to have a good relationship or enables you to maybe not be in control of your finances or control of your emotions or control of areas of your life. There are people in this room that you've experienced things in your past that they're holding on to you, like we saw in that picture. That was a depiction of a prostitute whose life had put her in that place and she was chained, and the life of Christ broke away all that shame and all that torment that would have been in her mind, would have been over her life. It was broken by the life of Christ. And the great thing about Jesus is as soon as he was freed, that life in him, that purpose activated again, and he went about doing what he was called to do because there was life in him. And he was called to bring freedom into our lives. You see, salvation is just a doorway. You open that door, you step into it, but you still step into it being you. Come on. When I got saved, things that were said to me in my past and things that I'd opened my life up to and things that I'd got involved in and things that I had been dealing with in my life, they didn't all just automatically drop away. They were still there. But that was when I was 21. Amen. And when you step into that world, you start to see God work on your life. You start to see God bring freedom into your life, and that's his promise over your life. He says in Luke 4:8, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, which is his grace in his favor. See, Jesus constantly just set people free. He set me free. He set people free from mental illness. He freed people by driving out demons that were that gripped beautiful, beloved people and forced them to live in a different and anguished reality. He set people free from disease and physical suffering, restoring them to the fullness of life. He set people free from issues of blood and withering hands and lethal fevers. He freed people from hunger, feeding thousands. He freed people from sexism, like the woman at the well. And the woman was about to be stoned for being caught in adultery. She's about to be stoned. But where was the man, right? Nowhere. He set people free. It's his life and it's his mission. Let's go back to the story. Verse 3, and they said, I'm going to jump back a bit to verse 3. And they said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? But when they looked up, they saw the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. You know what I love about this story? You got these women, natural, and they approach Jesus thinking he's dead, he's just a man. But they still just came. That's all they did is they turned up, right? They came. They must have come around the corner expecting to see a big, large stone, thinking this is impossible. We can't. Our task was to anoint his body, is to anoint him for burial. We're just some women. That's all we've got. And they come around the corner. And what do they see? The stone's been rolled away. Can I say something about you and your life? There are too many people in this room and in the world that try to deal with stuff in their life in the natural. But what you need to do is do what those women did. Is just come to Jesus as you are and you'll walk into a miracle. Are you with me? That something can be released in your life. Freedom can be released in life. Chains can be broken off your life. You can actually be amazed. You were never designed to deal with what's in your life and what's oppressing your life and what's trying to hold you back by yourself. Not one person in this room was designed to live that way. I was never designed to be a good husband under my own strength. I was never designed to be a good father under my own strength. I was never designed to be a good man under my own strength. Are you with me? I was never designed to be a provider under my own strength. I was never designed to deal with what life would throw at me under my own strength. I was designed to do it with the freedom and the life of Christ. And you, when you step through that door, that's step number one. You walk into a world where the life of Christ, the freedom of Christ, you start to learn about it and stuff starts to drop off. Not straight away. I'm testimony to that. Sometimes it takes a while, but you're not doing it alone anymore. You're doing it with Jesus. God wants to roll away some stones that are in your life that have kept you entombed, kept your personality or your life and some stuff that's happened to you. And you need that miracle. And you need to be with those ladies. All they did was turn up. You're just going to go, Jesus, I don't want to do it by myself. And you run into the power. The Bible says the resurrection power of Christ. Maybe you're sick and tired of dealing with stuff. Same stuff. Maybe it's time to change. Can I be bold? Maybe it's time to see your life go forward and not be held captive. I know there's people in this room, you know what I'm talking about. It could be addictions, it could be things from your past. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Amen. And I love what the claim that Jesus has about our lives. John 10:10, the thief does not come to except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it abundantly. See, coming to Jesus is never logical. It doesn't make sense. True? Just like those ladies, they turned up with their incenses and they just went, it wasn't logical for them to walk towards a tomb with a big stone there. They weren't capable. But they ran into the miracle of Christ. Are you with me? He's not logical. How he works in your life when you get to know him is not logical. One day you wake up and you look back and you see the things that have dropped off your life and the way, and I talked about on Friday night, I used to have chronic insecurity as a kid. For me to do what I'm doing now is honestly a complete miracle. I used to go bright red when anyone, when our teacher would stop asking me to read in class. They'd go, Andrew, could do this. Oh, no, Andrew, don't, you don't have to read. You don't have to read. Because I would literally go bright red. And I would stammer and stutter and everyone, like, you know, when someone does that and everyone just, you know, okay, can we stop? Stop. Stop looking at them. How the heck could I be doing what I do now? Because standing in front of you can be quite scary. Amen? Not that you are scary. You're a good-looking crowd. But just maybe you haven't given your life the opportunity of what Jesus can do with it. Amen? What he can do. What he wants to do. So there's two things I want to do right now. That didn't come out right, did it? Two things. I want to give people an opportunity in this room to take a step through that doorway. Because, friend, if your life is outside of Christ, then there is punishment. If you want to read the Bible and you believe in the gospel and you believe in who God is, then I encourage you to look at the detail of it and realize that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, eternal Father, except through me. There isn't any other way. There's nowhere in the Bible. That's why the cross and salvation, Easter, is so important. And it's why it literally stops our world. Because he has a salvation plan. If you've never consciously ever prayed a prayer to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, maybe you know all about God. You've been told about religion. Maybe you're born into religion. You know, some people say to me, I'm Catholic, I'm Protestant. That doesn't cut it. You've actually got to go, I'm a lover of Jesus. And I've given my life to him. And it doesn't matter who you are. Every single person on this earth has that opportunity. Amen? And you step through that doorway. And that means that eternity is activated over your life, his grace and his mercy and his love. If you're outside of that, sure, there is punishment for your sin. You are separated from God. No matter how you think you are, you have to deny the Easter message. You have to deny the Bible and its thousands of years of existence. You have to deny the millions of people that have martyred their lives for the gospel. You have to deny all of that to believe that. And it takes more faith to believe that than believe the gospel. Amen? You got to believe he is a God of love and he loves you outrageously. He loves you so much. Don't you think he's just a God of punishment? He created a pathway for you to know not just only forgiveness and grace, but once you get in there, he wants to create a life that is abundant. Amen? So just for privacy, I'm going to pause on this moment. And then I'm going to talk about something else that we could do. But this is important. This is Easter. And I do not believe. I believe in the miracles of God. I've seen them happen. And I do not believe that you're in this room by accident. As much as you might think, you're here. And what we're going to do in a moment, we're going to pray a prayer in this place. And I pray that you would just with sincerity Because you know what happens? Don't think about your family, your friends, or anything else right now. Because one day, the Bible says that we'll all stand before God and give account for ourselves, not for our family, our friends. We can't, there's no extra family pass into heaven. It's just you. And what I want you to do right now is just in all sincerity, we're going to pray a prayer, and our church family are going to pray it together. And I just want you to pray this prayer. And if you're meaning it from your heart, we're going to pray a prayer to invite Christ into our lives and become Christians. Is that all right? So come on, church, you can join. If you've done this before, you can join with me. But if you are doing this for the first time, if you've got any doubt about whether you are a Christian, just pray this with sincerity. Come on, let's close our eyes. Dear Lord Jesus. Let me start again. Dear Lord Jesus, I accept you today, this Easter Sunday morning, 2018, to be my personal Lord and Savior. I accept that you died on the cross for me. That today you can take away all my sin, everything that separates me from God, and you replace it with your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness. And I accept your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness. And I accept today that I'm a child of God, that eternity is placed in my heart, that I am a Christian, which means Christ in me. And as your Bible tells us, in the book of Revelations, that my name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Come into my heart, Jesus. I give you my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Amen. Every eye closed, just a moment longer, just for privacy. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or as a rededication, with every eye closed, I'm not going to ask you to come out the front or anything like that. Just raise your hand. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or as a rededication, you meant it from your heart, just raise your hand. Come on, across this room. Great. Yeah. Give people a moment. Just lift your hand up so I can see it. Okay. Awesome. Beautiful. Last thing I want to do, you look this way now. Beautiful. We have something on a Sunday night, once a fortnight, starting next Sunday night. We call it Lifestyle of Freedom. And this thing is designed to help you discover the freedom that you have in Christ. And we have some teaching, and then we have coaching. We have people that walk with you. Because there are Christians in this place. There are people that really, it's time to be free in some areas of your life and understand the freedom that you have in Christ. And we're going about it. We're helping people find that and walk through that and walk into that. And so what we're going to do is we're going to hand out some flyers right now with some pens. And if you're interested in doing this course, I just want you to put your name, hand it out now. That'd be great, guys. Just hand them out to everyone if we got them. Just pass them down the rows. All you got to do is put your name and your phone number, and we'll give you a call. And if you made a decision today, you prayed that prayer, I want you to put your name on that as well. And we're going to follow up that decision that you've made. You need a pen? We've got some pens to hand out. The reality of what we do as a church is, number one, we want to see people come to know Christ. And number two, we want to see people walk in the freedom that they can know in Christ. And that's what we do once a fortnight on Sunday nights. We dedicate ourselves to it. We put some coaches alongside of you. And we want to see you walk away from some of these things that have held you captive. just hand them out, and then we can just collect them maybe with buckets when we're ready. We're 1 minute over, almost finished. So what we'll do now is we'll, if you've had some time to do that, we'll just pass some buckets down, and if you need pens, or you know, straight after service, there's going to be a desk up in the corner there. You can just go and talk to someone there and put your name down, and we'd love to help you do that. Is that all right? Beautiful. Last thing I'd like to do is, you know, whenever you do something like what we just did, and our team that pulled this together, they did it literally in weeks. And they did an amazing job, I feel. So we just want to honor them. Come on, Rach. It was little Emily. She's part of this. There. I think they deserve some flowers, right, at least. To honor, and I think you guys do an amazing job. Literally, they pulled this together. How many weeks?
Three
weeks. And so many people involved, and so they do such a good job. And I know there's, like, and I get myself in trouble because there's a lot of people that's been involved in this, but I'm just going to pick on, we can honor who we want to honor, and we're going to honor you too for what you've done, and I think you do an amazing job, and I think it was amazing. Give them a hand again. Beautiful. So why don't we stand on your feet? I'd love to pray for you before you go, and then we've got some hot crossies. Oh, hot cross buns. That's what we call them in my house, hot crossies. Melted butter and some coffee, right? Cup of tea. But before you go, can I just pray for you? Maybe close your eyes. God, I know, like I've said, that everyone is in this room for a reason. And you love every single person in this room. And you have the most incredible ability, God. You hear our every thought and every intentions, and you're gazing on us as if there's no one else on this earth. And you're staring at us, and your gaze is a gaze of love, like the most devoted parent. You love us. And you want the best for us. And God, for anyone in this room that doesn't have a relationship with you, God, I pray that maybe when they're by themselves, away from all this, that they could ask you, Jesus, to reveal yourself to them. And I know that you will. God, I thank you. I pray for your protection and your grace and your mercy and your love over every single life in this room. And we thank you for this incredible Easter Sunday and for what you did for us. And we give you honor and praise in this place in Jesus' name. And everybody said, come on, we'll give the Lord a hand. We love you. Here at Bay City, you're incredibly special to us. God bless you. Have a great rest of your Easter weekend. If you go through those doors now, we've got some coffee and hot cross buns. If you want to talk to us about anything, I'll be down the front for a bit. See that corner there if you want to sign up for our freedom. God bless you. For those community families, we've got some hampers waiting for you outside as well. Grab your hamper as well. God bless you. Don't eat too much chocolate.